Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wait, Susan, do your sexiest voice. Okay, I'm going to give you a line. Okay, it's going to be a little bit obscure. You have to say this. I want to dive off that cliff and swim to shore. In your sexiest voice.
I want to dive off that cliff and swim to the shore. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking
Nicely
about.
Nicely done. Okay.
Thank you.
We don't get to do this at work.
Who's our new friend here? I'm so excited, by
All right,
the way.
So tonight, dear guests, or dear listeners, we have Susan McMartin, who is our brilliant writer on Mom. Mm. And she's a dear friend of mine. And I'm so happy that she's here. We kind of want to do a little bit of like a Hollywood insight.
Sure,
that we're having obnoxious. I don't know if that sounds.
I just think that there are so many people out there that really don't know how to break into Hollywood, whether it's as a writer or an actor or a director, and I really do feel like you're going to give us some valuable insight because we have so many listeners who want to be involved in the creative arts.
I also want to grill you on your love life.
Okay,
and I also want to introduce Cassie, who's our segment producer. She just sold a script.
Yay, guys! It's so fun sitting on this side of the table.
I know.
Like a new pressure being over here.
She sounds sexy too, without even doing anything. I like that there's three women.
I know.
It's kind of cool.
Yes, and only one man with a mic, which is...
That's true.
The odds are, you know, not favorable for us, but we'll see what we can do.
Hey, Mike. Nice eyebrow. Biggle.
These mics are really good, by the way. They're very...
Amazon.
Really? Is that where you got all your equipment? Oh, my God. I love it.
Cassie, will you please tell us your story?
About my script, the process of the script. Yeah, so I'd been out here probably 10 years writing for the last 7, and this was the first script I ever sold. It's called Besties. It's about 4 women who go on a road trip together to break up a wedding. It sold to DreamWorks and Montecito.
Amazing.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's been
for a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
Cassie, I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, God.
We really are so happy for you.
I started here.
You deserve it.
In this room.
You're incredible.
And you're still here.
I'm not going anywhere.
Good.
You're going to have to kick me out
that
door.
Is it based on a real experience?
You know what's so funny? I wish it was. Like when we go, I wrote it with my writing partner and Mark and I, we go on these meetings together and everyone says, they're like, so tell us about the script. Where did you get the idea? And I have a really boring story of just like, well, I just wanted to write this movie about 4 girls who reconnect and go on a trip together. And then after a while, we looked at each other and we're like, you know what? We got to come up with a really great story. So then I started going in and I was like, well, Mark and I know each other because, well, I tried to break up his wedding. And they're like, what?
Cassie, I can't thank you enough for being, you've been like such a huge part of this whole podcast.
Thanks,
adventure.
Guys.
That's so true.
We love you.
I love being here. I love doing it. You feed me in the attic all the time.
That's true.
You hardly ever beat me.
At least she gives you good food. That's when I deserve it.
That's when I deserve it. That's when I step out of line.
Oh, could I get kidney beans?
I know. Can you give me water? It's been 3 days. You know, that's when I...
Well, but you know, the dehydration makes you look a lot better.
It's good for the skin?
Yeah. And the sunken cheeks.
Yeah.
It's very Hollywood.
You guys are good to me.
Susan?
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, first of all, can we talk about your name? Did your mom or dad ever call you Susie?
They called me Sue. Sue. And my friends growing up called me Subie.
Subie.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'd be like, Subie.
Nowadays, do you have like friends that call you Subie that you realize like these are the people that I'm closest to?
I'm still, the people in my life are the same people that have been in my life for my entire life. I mean, I grew up in LA, and so all my closest friends are the same kids I grew up with, and they still call me Subie. My sister calls me Sue, and my some of my friends call me Suze, S-O-O-Z-E, Suze.
Hey, all right, Suze, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
What advice would you give to a young writer or actor or anybody who is starting out in the mm-hmm. industry?
Wow. I mean, first and foremost, you know, really want this, want to do this, want to be, you know, in
humiliated.
This business. Really make
rejected.
The decision. And I think, you know, for me, finding your voice, having a really unique voice and writing your truth, write what you know to start with, especially because only you can really tell your stories the way mm-hmm. you see stories, you know? And I think that's instead of trying to copy something that you've seen, like instead of, you know, for example, mom, don't try to mimic a mom episode, you know, write, you know, in the olden days, everybody had to write specs based right. on shows that were already, now people really want to see original material because they want to see, anybody can kind of emulate another show or a movie type, but show me your voice, your style, and I think that's more important because down the road you can, if you need to do a sample of a show, that your writing chops will be strong. But if somebody says, you know, what's your voice, you'll have honed it, you know.
I know it's different to write for TV and to write for film, especially mm-hmm. when you're first starting out and trying to get noticed. I have friends who are trying to break into TV, but they said at times it's easier to break into film because you can write a spec and then get it to the right person, and all of a sudden there could be a bidding war, like what happened with Cassie.
Right.
But with TV, it's a completely different process where you have to start out maybe as a writer's assistant and kind of work your way up and get into rooms. And if you wanted to write your own show, you would have to have a track record behind you. Otherwise, you wouldn't get the proper showrunner. Am I completely wrong on this?
No, you know, it's changed so much. I mean, when I started, writing for television was so different. I mean, now it is writer's assistants work their way up. I mean, right. on all of Chuck Lorre's shows that I've been involved in, almost every writer's assistant has eventually become a staff writer. And for me, when I started out, I mean, not at all. I had to just write original material or spec scripts.
So then how did you get involved with Chuck?
With Chuck, it was so interesting because I had a fairly decent career. I was making a living as a writer, single mom, you know, sole provider for my baby, and, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And I had somehow, you know, I went to NYU, graduated the writing program. Somehow I managed to make a living. And then everything came to a screeching halt. Like, I could not get a job. And it was, I mean, I was...
What do you think that was?
It was...
What was the screeching halt?
You know, when I look back on it, I think it had to happen for me to grow and change and experience something that I
knew. But do you think that it was like
the industry?
Like the climate? Yeah,
well, I think a lot of it was also, yeah, I mean, it was reality TV was really becoming so big that scripted shows weren't as many slots mm-hmm. available. So that was one thing. I think the writer strike. You know, so there was a lot that went into it, and you know, I during that period of time, I started writing a weekly column, which is why I've always said to you, I love this podcast because I love people who have outside projects keep going at all times because it keeps you, I don't know, creative and feeling somewhat in control of your destiny,
yes.
you know.
And we've talked about this privately too.
Like, yeah.
I love mom so much, but doing the podcast has also been a way for me to express sort of my idiotic self in a format where I kind of think that no one's going to listen to, but turns out some people do.
We have to talk about your movie also. We only have a little bit of time.
Everybody go see Mr. Church. Eddie Murphy's amazing. Britt Robertson, who you guys had
yes,
here.
Yes, and we love her so much. You're so brilliant. You
oh,
have been,
so
I love it that in our environment of mom, I feel like I always get to look to the brilliant crew of writers in times of vulnerability, and you guys always feel like you kind of have our backs.
You're amazing. I am so lucky to get to write for you, and you're just, you set such a great tone on that stage. Everybody feels happy and loved, and you're just this joy, and you're honestly, like, this podcast is so awesome. I mean, I'm so happy you're doing this. When you told me about it, when it was like a year and a half
ago
or something,
and I said, like, you have to do it.
Yes, just jump in, because it's great and people love it. Aww. Love it, love it, love it. So I'm so psyched.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. And I want to ask you later on maybe about, like, how you guys sort of figure out how you tailor writing to characters and people. But maybe that's kind of boring, but very interesting to me.
Yeah.
But the writer's room.
Yeah.
How do you guys, like, pitch stories, pitch jokes? What happens if you pitch a joke that you feel like is really strong but gets, like, shot down?
That happens, like,
yeah, do you get your feelings hurt, or do you just get to a place where you just don't emotionalize it?
Well, you know, when I first started writing for Chuck on Two and a Half Men, I was so intimidated by him.
Why?
And, you know, and I would take it personally, you know, and then I realized it's never personal. And, you know, you develop a thick skin for sure. In a writer's room, you develop a thick skin, especially because on Two and a Half Men, I was like, there was like me and one other woman, and that was it. And the rest were all guys. So that in itself. But you also have to not fall. You have to, for me, I always have to remember this is somebody else's vision, and I'm here to help that person see that vision through. So it's not my baby, it's their baby, and I've been invited to kind of, like, help nurture it, you know. When it's my own thing, that's a whole different thing.
Did you feel like the pressure to be raunchier because you're a woman? Because not pressure, because I like to be really raunchy, but with Two and a Half Men in, you know, a pretty raunchy environment, did you feel like, as a woman, like, okay,
I think that one of the reasons why I did well on that show was because I'm able to be raunchy and I'm not easily offended, and I can play with the boys. But sometimes it's hard, because sometimes you feel like, am I betraying my sex? You know, like, am I using my sexuality? Am I using my raunchiness to stay there? And maybe that little voice in me that goes, this isn't appropriate, or I'm feeling a little bit offended or whatever, isn't speaking up, because you want to stay in the room, you know? And I mean, when I was younger, for sure, I flirted more in my way of, when I'd go in on a pitch, I was more, you know, you'd lead with some of that. Yeah. You know, as now that I'm an old middle-aged washed up woman.
You're fucking smoking.
You're so sweet. But no, I mean, now I'm like, I don't tend to lead with that anymore, but which feels so good that I don't feel like I have to. I mean, I love talking about sex. I love talking about men. I love talking about women. Like, I am very open. I've told you that from the beginning. I'm like, you don't have to worry about me on your podcast. I won't be like, ooh, what are we doing? You know?
No, I know.
I mean, I'm very open that way. But I never want to feel like I have to do to get the job. That's the difference, you know. I think being able to have a sense of humor about all this stuff, and, like, not, because some people can't, you know, some people really can't talk about this kind of stuff. And I get that. I appreciate that, you know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
More heard by, like, you know, the people that we work with as you work with them more and more?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I feel like I've developed trust. You know, you hit after a certain amount of time, you've been, I mean, I've been now working in the Chuck Lorre world for, I guess it's almost 6 years. It's taken time, you know, to earn that trust. It's taken time. It's also, I've had to learn when I know better when to pitch, when not to pitch, when to bring in a story, when not to bring a story. Like, you feel the temperature of the room and you start to have a better understanding. And I think it's why the people who work with Chuck tend to be the people that have been in his life for a really long time. And we look at Eddie, you know, these people. And I think it's because once he knows you get him and you get his rhythm and you, it's like a dance, you know, it's like being in a band. It really is. And you kind of have to know, when do I come in with the trumpet, you know, and when do I, like, just let the band leader, like, lead. Yeah. So, but that took time. It took time. And, you know, in the beginning I was so insecure.
It's terrifying.
I'm sure.
Yeah. How I would go into my office and be like, oh my God, he hates me. I'm going to get fired. You know, and then I'd come out and be like, hi. You know. But, yeah, I think, you know, I'm sorry. What were you asking me?
Well, I have two questions. Yeah. Right, if I may.
Yeah.
Pick your brain. One, did you ever, in the beginning when you felt intimidated, did you ever find yourself holding back when you did have a great idea or you felt was a great idea because you felt like, oh, what if people don't like it? What if, you know, what if it's shot down? Or did that ever affect your confidence at all in what you were creating?
That's a good question. I think that there have been times that I've sat on an idea because I could tell it wasn't the right time to pitch it. Like, you know, it might not be well received in this moment,
right,
because we're working on another direction or the energy of the room isn't right or whatever. But if I really feel like excited about an idea, I've always expressed it. And I think the one of the things, if you know, that Chuck appreciates about me is that I do keep coming back. Like, even if I'm batted down, I don't let that stop me from coming back. Like, people in the room even say, Susan, you're like you know, Rocky, you just keep coming back, because, like, you know, because you have to, because I think he needs to know I can bat you down and you're not going to be scared,
right,
because you're, you know, like, he hired you because he needs to know you're going to just keep coming up with ideas.
And he trusts you,
yeah,
that you're going to.
But there are times that I've had days where I'm like, oh, nothing I'm saying is hitting, you know, I'm just going to be quiet for a while because my voice and my ideas are not penetrating. And then there are days where everything that comes out of my mouth is like gold. And you're like, what happened? Okay, what am I wearing? What did I eat today? Like, what's the weather out? Yeah, I always say to Derek, like, whenever I come home, if I've had a good day, I'm scared to say it because I'm always thinking, oh, I'm going to jinx it. Like, tomorrow's going to be horrible, you know? But I've learned so much working on both Two and a Half Men and Mom. I love Mom so much. The writer's room is on Mom is so supportive. Two and a Half Men was tougher. It was a little bit more competitive. It was a little bit more like, because it was more of a boys club, I felt like every day I felt like I had to suit up with armor and be like, okay, what hell awaits me? You know, like, not in a bad way, but just that knowing that there was a lot more teasing and there was a lot more frat house feel.
Yeah.
You
know? Sim knows that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mom is very, like, I think because there's more women too, it's got a different balance.
I'm really glad. And you guys do such an unbelievable job writing for us. I Allison and I are constantly we're just so grateful that you guys continue to challenge us and you and just write, like, these incredible characters for us. And so we feel incredibly grateful. So,
oh my God, we're lucky. You and Allison make our, even things that we write that we're like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. You'll make it work. And that's, I mean, we're always amazed by what you guys do. And we're like, oh my God, it worked. They made it work, you know? So
kind. I don't know if that's true.
It is true.
I could actually cite some examples where that's not true.
Before we go, because we do have to leave soon. We have something happening in about 10 minutes.
Woo!
Ooh, but, yeah.
Yes, we do. But before we go, can you talk about your movie real quick?
It's called Mr. Church, and it's based on a real friendship from my life. It took me over 12 years to get it made. So talk about, yeah. For 5 years, Sam Jackson was attached to it, and then it didn't happen, and it sat on a shelf for 3 years, and then it came off the shelf, and then we got it, and then it all started to finally happen. But so it's in theaters, and it's basically, it's a totally different side of me. It's a drama. Okay. It's about, I grew up with this man in my life who helped raise me, who is the reason I became a writer. And he came into my life when my mom was really dying of cancer. And I was a very lost kid. And he was like the greatest man ever. And when he passed away before my daughter was born. And I was always really sad that she would never know him. And so I thought, well, maybe I can have them meet in a movie. I mean, that's the joy of being a writer. You can make things happen, you know, and you can fudge life, you know, and make it kind of come out the way you hoped it would. And so I started writing the script, and the script actually wrote really quick. I didn't outline it or anything. I wrote it really fast.
Wow. And then
it was really one of those divine experiences where it just poured out of me. And I was, you know, I would write when Hannah was a baby. So I'd write when she was napping. I'd write when she was, you know, watching TV. And, so it's now finally happened. It's finally out. And Eddie Murphy's amazing. He's incredible in it.
So great.
And I'm so proud of it. I'm just so proud that it exists now. Like if nothing else, like it exists and people who go see it are getting a little piece of this relationship that was so important to me. So
I think we all know how it feels when you work really hard for something that finally comes through after years and years of trying. It's so gratifying. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Susan?
Yes.
Could we work on a project together?
Yes.
Okay, I really want to be like, play a 13-year-old in a 40-year-old body.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like Freaky Friday?
Well, but sort of a more dramatic take.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think you could nail it.
And I give you these spacey eyes?
I love the spacey eyes. Oh, my God. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yes. And but what happens is like a really hot man meets you, but he thinks you're like a grown up, but you're really this like 13-year-old, and it gets really kind of weird.
Yeah, I like it. So he's like, he had no idea that he was like pedophilic.
Yeah, like he's like this up. He's finally fallen in love, and then he casts.
Do you want to be the dude? Should we do a little role play?
Let's do it.
Okay, what's your name?
Henry.
Henry Sampson.
Henry Sampson.
You're my biology teacher, or I brought a teacher into it?
No, wait, are you 40, but a 13-year-old inside you? Is that what it is? Yes, you're...
No, you know what? Let's just say I'm 13.
Okay.
Oh, and you're just a pedophile.
Oh, so now I'm just like Sting in that weird music video where he's like hitting on the students.
I'm sorry.
Okay. What was that music video?
That wasn't the cartoon one.
I don't remember that one.
God, it was when he was with the police.
It wasn't like a...
Well, now this is like a real drama. Okay.
Hey, Mr. Sampson, I had a couple questions about my homework.
Okay.
Do you remember when C squared equals is supposed to like...
I'm going to have to stop you for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell you this, but when you stand this close to me and look at me with those big blue 13-year-old eyes... I'm feeling excited and very uncomfortable. And you have to understand, I am much, much, much older than you.
Mr. Sampson, though, come on. Don't you think we're sort of on the same level, you know, sexuality-wise?
Well, if we were in France, this would work. But in the States, I could go to jail for
maybe
this.
Maybe we should. You're not going to go to jail, Mr. Sampson, because I'm not going to tell anybody.
Please call me Henry.
Just grab my ass. Just give it a quick
squeeze. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm going to get fired. I'm picturing myself as like Matthew Broderick right now. Like, I'm like Matthew Broderick would play this role. And he'd be like, and you know why it's Matthew Broderick?
Election.
Yes. Yeah. And you can't hate him totally. Like, you feel for him because he's in this like conundrum.
And she's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But come on, aren't you a little bit seduced?
Totally.
Susan, come on.
Oh, totally.
You are?
I am.
Thank you.
But at the same time, it's like,
this is what he would say. He'd go, I look at you and I'm sorry, but I think of my daughter. She's only a year younger than you, and yet you don't seem like a child.
I want to tell you something. I never had a daddy before.
Oh, God, help me. I have to go to church. This is wrong. This is wrong. All right, let's wrap it up. Yeah, I saw Sam do the old
infamous finger.
All right, dear listeners, I love you. We'll be back with more.
Or we just end the show. What you're saying is that we'll be back. They'll be back with more. We're ending the show. They're not going to be back. There's no more. That's it. We're ending the show right now.
Okay. Hey, everyone. I guess the show is dead. Good night and goodbye forever.
Good night,
according
everyone.
According to Sim.
Good night.
Bye.
Never
Thank
tune
you.
In to us again.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.